Project Paper has a fancy name, the Precision Array to Probe the Epoch of Reionization, but a concise mission, to determine when the very first stars were formed. Dr. Richard Bradley and his team at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory plan to figure this out by measuring the physical properties and special distribution of hydrogen that was present during that time in the universe.
Cosmologists, those are those that study the physical origins and evolution of the universe, have a model that best fits the measured data, and that's the Big Bang model. And here, the universe was formed about 13.7 billion years ago as a very hot, dense region that cooled over time to form the lighter elements like hydrogen, helium, and some traces of lithium.
The cold neutral hydrogen will absorb and radiate radio waves, clump, and eventually form a star. Bradley says, in addition to light, stars also produce radiation and will ionize the hydrogen. The hydrogen will generate radio waves.
And the ionized hydrogen around these central cores will not. So we have a contrast that we can measure, and we can determine the time period when this occurred by measuring the radio frequency of the hydrogen signal.
Bradley says other researchers have determined that it's somewhere between 100 and 200 megahertz, just above the FM broadcast band. The estimate is that stars formed 100 million years after the Big Bang. Bradley says by knowing this more precisely, it will help refine cosmological models. The $2.5 million project is funded by the National Science Foundation and involves the University of Virginia, UC Berkeley, the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, and Curtin University in Australia. The device researchers will use to measure the timetable is called a radio imaging array and started taking shape in places like this Georgetown, Ohio barn. Cincinnati Public Radio engineer Bill Dean is making a ground screen. The 78 by 78 inch metal frame is covered in wire mesh. On each of the four sides is a removable 40-inch panel that also has wire mesh. When assembled, it looks like a big square basket. An antenna is mounted in the center of this part. The ground screen helps shield the antenna from signals coming out of the Earth. Also helping to block out transmitter noise is the project's location, Green Bank, West Virginia.
Basically, this thing is a radio camera, so to speak. And just like an optical camera, you know, the longer exposures are needed to capture those weak signals. And so our array, and instead of having lenses, consists of a set of antennas.
As you might imagine, hearing those weak signals from millions of years ago will take a lot of antennas. Bradley is starting with 16 in West Virginia and ending with 128 in Australia. The antennas operate in a full range of frequencies, are connected to radio receivers and very specialized computer systems. The 16 in West Virginia are already producing sky images. Beginning next spring, scientists will put arrays up in Australia's outback. Without interference, Bradley should get all the data he needs.
It'll probably take about a year of observing and data analysis after that indeed, decide if we've actually detected the signal or not.
That will be in October of 2010. By observing the sky, Bradley says the researchers will see radio patches and patches without radio signals.
These signals get shifted down in frequency, just like when you have an ambulance with a siren blazing, and it goes by you, and you hear this Doppler shift, this drifting down in tone. We get the same situation where we drift down in frequency because of the expanding universe. And so this hydrogen that was formed back during that time is now radiating that signal from our observation point of view at this frequency in the 100 to 200 megahertz range.
Knowing the frequency pins down when the radiation occurred, and if successful, will be truly a stellar mission. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.